Good morning, everybody. Well, praise the Lord. Here another Sunday. And I think one of the, one thing that's been on my mind this past week, I think I shared a little bit Thursday night, the guys, as you know, we were men's Bible study Tuesday night. And one of the things that And Brad, you mentioned some things too. But one of the things that the difference he was talking about was, God's election. That was the predestinated before the foundation of the world. And the people who elect God. We're Romans, end of 8. Where it talks about, shall persecution, distress, peril, sword, any of these things separate me from the love of God? And I'm paraphrasing that. And talking about those that are called to His purpose. And God's elect. But that same promises, those same things that are to God's elect, can be also for those who elect Him as God. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. So it doesn't matter where you're at and how do you elect them as God? It's one of the questions. You choose them. We talk about Lord, become our Lord and Savior. And one of those things is the Lord part. Savior part's nice. Tell you, that's nice. Sometimes we really do buck against the Lord part. At least I know I do.
Yeah, when you're awake.
Yeah, when I'm awake, Brad says. Man, but it's an awesome thing. The Lord's good. We have seen His hand in all of our lives as we just choose Him. Repent and choose Him. It's good God. One of the things that came about when he was talking about, I believe Steve was talking about distresses, and that is being pressed on every side. And I know I've had shared some of that struggle and have been looked at that. And one of the good things was, the good thing about it is it presses me towards the Lord. One of the things that, for me, that ministered the most on Thursday night with Brad was the fact that, the here and now, we get focused on the here and now. And, if we're just focused on the here and now, and it's kind of, that can't be our thrust. But it's to believe God and His Word. And serve Him in the midst of whatever. Knowing that you're delivered. None of those things we talk about in Romans could hold you back. Peril, sword, any of those things can separate you from the love of God because you know how good the Lord is. You know His gospel is true. And you believe in His grace and His sacrifices sufficient for you, and in the power of His resurrection. And that being manifested in your life. You believe it. You choose to believe it. He's a good God. That's all I have for this morning.
The thing that strikes me is everybody wants the Savior thing, Savior part. That's the easy sell to those who are afflicted. But that Lordship thing, that's the scripture that came to my mind, and I haven't looked for it. This is Paul when he says, arm yourself with the same mind. And the thing that flashes before me is Jesus' single-minded purpose, Jesus' mission. here when he came as a man was to die on the cross. If you arm yourself with the same mind, then you have to shake off everything else. There, Scripture talks about being conformed unto his death and something about something to his resurrection, conformed unto his death that you might attain unto the resurrection. Something like that. I'm hacking that up terribly, but if you arm yourself with the same mind that you're gonna die, then everything else is really trivial stuff. And, you know, every morning, some worse than others, but every morning is another morning. I just have to shake all the stuff off and say, you know what? I don't want to be where I'm going, and I don't want to do what I've got to do, but I've got to arm myself with the same purpose. And just praise God that I get the opportunity. Because that lordship thing is some serious business. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, I have no idea. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. I don't know if I'm gonna go terribly in depth on that, but that's a very interesting concept. As an apostle, he has the authority to extend grace and peace. And to hope it's multiplied. Certainly, he also has the authority to speak it into existence, which if you don't have it, he can speak it to you. It's a good thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Sometimes we lose a vision, but there's an eternal provision made for those who receive Jesus Christ. And that's amazing. That's a good thing. It's so far exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. You know, and God is faithful, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's all going to be known. All those things that are question marks floating over your head, you're going to find out what they're about. And you'll actually understand the length and breadth and depth of this salvation that you really don't really have an inkling of yet. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now this is where I was, this is the two verses here I was coming for. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that, I'm gonna butcher this, and I'm looking at it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We spend a lot of time, even though we don't recognize it, in the heaviness of manifold temptations. Sometimes we make it and stand through the temptation and do not sin, but then other times we have to go back to James chapter 1, count it all joy. But either way, the Lord's provision's for you. The one you stood and you were found faithful, and the other one you fell, and he's found gracious. One you're found faithful, the other one he's found faithful. One proves you're trustworthy, the other one proves he's trustworthy. So it's all good. It kind of brings it back to Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But if we let these heaviness, just the temptation act itself, whether or not you fall in it, if you let the heaviness get you down, then you feel a detached separation from the body, from the faith, and that's not necessary. Not necessary. He says God hasn't left you. Holy Spirit hadn't gone off, walked out the door to get a gallon of milk. You're still his. And that heaviness is something that's part of that shaking that stuff off in the morning, man. Or for those back in the days when the morning was, 7:30 in the evening and I was working nights, I have to spend the whole night shaking it off. It was ugly. But whatever your morning is, and this trial of your faith, why is the trial of your faith more precious than that of gold that perish? The trying of your faith is either going to prove that you're trustworthy or that God's trustworthy. And that's either way, that's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to find out that you're trustworthy. It's a good thing to find out that he's trustworthy. And when that happens, then you fit into the next verse, whom having not seen ye love. Why? Because he's faithful. And the trial isn't to trip you up and find a way around having to let you in heaven. The trial is to prove he's faithful. And in either case, whether you stand or fall in the trial, he proves he's faithful. And, you know, that's just so counter to our intuitive sense of we always think when somebody comes up with us with an offer like that, just too good to believe, that they're trying to stiff us. And they probably are. We have to unlearn that sort of presumptive putting evil onto God. God's not evil. He's trying to usher us in through the gate into the kingdom. Come on. And if you can receive that, the end of your faith is salvation. The end of your faith is salvation. How good is that? And that's just, I don't know. I'm ready. I'm done. I don't have any more. That's a good place to stop. The end of our faith is salvation. Shake off the heaviness. Huh?
Can I tag a little on the back?
If you got something.
Briefly, though.
2
Corinthians.
Sure.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. One, three. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so Paul Muller was just talking about, you know, the hope of the gospel, the hope of salvation. And this is extending that hope in this life to the people around you. So what he's saying, the apostle is saying, is you're comforted in your tribulation by the Spirit, and then you're going to observe somebody around you in some circumstance that you are going to be able to relate to, and you're going to be able to bring the same comfort that you've received directly from the Holy Spirit, and then you become an instrument of the Lord in that person's life and experience. And you can go to him like, sir? Like, yeah. May I give you, for instance, you know, if you've had a lot of trouble with like physical health issues, and then you observe somebody in distress, you know, physical health issues, you're going to be able to go to them and say, well, in my experience, the Lord did this, the Lord did that. When I got really sick, they told me to start praying the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, if you prefer. You know, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Are you going to be sick in heaven? No. Is his will to be done in the now as it is in heaven? Yes. So you can in full faith pray, Lord, please deliver me from this affliction. And that's what I did. And over a period of some time, he did, and he still is. So now I can go to somebody that's sick and say, look, I would love to be able to lay my hand on you and heal you, and that might happen. But I can tell you from experience, you begin pressing into the Spirit day by day by day, pray in this fashion, and you're going to see the result. And that's all I want to tag on the end of it, Paul.
We're done.